أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Verse number 85. ولا تعجبك أموالهم وأولادهم إنما يريد الله أن يعذبهم بها في الدنيا وتزهق أنفسهم وهم كافرون. Let not their possessions or their children impress you. Allah only desires to punish them with deeds in this world, and that their souls may depart while they are faithless. Okay, after the long break, I just remind you that the surah was talking about the hypocrites and the type of difficulties that the Prophet, peace be upon him, was faced by their attitude and their action, and especially what happened during the in the course of Ghazwatu Tabuk, the impediment that the Prophet, the expedition that the Prophet had to go to Tabuk and come back. And it was in the summer, it was a very long and far away distance. And therefore, the munafiqun started to bring excuses. And lots of hidden agendas and hidden attitudes that were existing in the heart of the munafiqun were surfaced by this incident. Now, in the previous verse, we had that وَلَا تُصَلِّ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَاتَ أَبَدًا, and never pray over any of them when he dies, nor stand on his graveside. This is the most severe type of reaction towards their attitude. They indeed defied Allah and his apostle and died as transgressors. Now this verse, of course, addresses one issue which sometimes go around in everyone's mind. If these people are not good, if these people are not cared by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why so much wealth, why so much power? Why are these things given to these people? And usually, especially when we compare them with mu'minun, we see that mu'minun are mostly not very well to do, not very powerful, and on the other ground, on the other side, these people, hypocrites and kuffar, have this wealthy type of lifestyle. So it addresses, of course, the issue about munafiqun of Mecca, Medina at that time, which actually had the monopoly over the wealth and power of Medina, aside from the power of the Prophet. Of course, besides from that, the circles of power in Medina were all in hands of these hypocrites, and the wealth of Medina was in the hands of these hypocrites. And if we consider this, we would see how difficult it was for the Prophet to encounter and to make any action against these people, because they were holding the whole provision of Medina in their hands. So here Allah mentions, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا تُعْجِبْكَ أَمْوَالُهُمْ وَأَوْلَادُهُمْ, let not their possessions or their children impress you. Of course, in many, many places, when the Quran addresses the Prophet, we know that Prophet, of course, knows about this. He is never impressed by wealth or by power of other people. The Quran addresses the Prophet because others are not to the level to be addressed by the Quran. So it addresses the Prophet, but the main recipients of these messages should be others to listen. When Allah tells it to His Prophet, it means that you have to listen as well. So, let not their possessions or their children impress you. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَن يُعَذِّبَهُمْ بِهَا فِي الدُّنْيَا, Allah only desires to punish them with these in this world, and that their souls may depart while they are faithful. Now, there's a problem here with this type of description of why people are given wealth. Now here it says, The only reason that we have given them wealth is that we want إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهِ, or the only thing that we want, not that the only reason we have given the wealth, the only thing that we want is to punish them with this wealth. Now the question comes, how this punishment process works, how people are punished by being given wealth. And this has been a question for the exegetes and for the theologians since old time. Now here I have written a few explanations from Majma' al-Bayan, which was given by the great exegete Tabrizi. He says that, okay, how this punishment works, how Allah says that we are punishing them with this wealth. He says a few things are possible. First, بِمَا يَلْحَقُهُمْ فِيهَا مِنَ الْمَسَائِبِ وَالْخُمُرِ. Allah gives them wealth, but in this world there are lots of losses, there are lots of sadnesses which come through the way. Sometimes they lose this wealth, sometimes they are plundered, and many other things they have to protect it. And all these difficulties and hassles which is usually accompanied by people having wealth is their punishment. Well, I don't know whether you accept this or not, because this is a necessary type of accompaniment of having wealth, and I don't think this would be a punishment for people who have wealth to protect their wealth, or sometimes they have losses. They might have losses, they might have sometimes people rubbing them off or taking their wealth, or they have to pay the different dues, but anyhow they are living in comfort, and that's the main purpose of wealth, isn't it? So this is not a good idea of saying that Allah is trying to punish them because of these different hassles and difficulties. And then the second thing which he says is that رُبَمَا يَأْخُذُهَا مِنْهُمُ الْمُسْلِمُونَ عَلَى وَجْهِ الْغَنِيمَةِ. If there are hypocrites and kuffar and Muslimun fight them, sometimes they take their wealth in the name of booty. They fight, they do jihad against them, and they take their wealth. Well, this of course might happen for Muslimun as well, for Mu'minun as well. This is not something which, again, we could mention as a punishment for having wealth. And the third thing that he mentioned is especially about Munafiqun. They have to pay zakat while they do not believe in it, and this is a great punishment for them, because they are always bothered by it. Why you have to pay it? It's a forced type of payment that you have to make, and all these issues. And well, for people in other communities, they have to pay taxes instead of zakat, you might say, and taxes are always burdens for wealthy people, and this is the type of punishment that might come to them. I don't find any of these explanations to be plausible, really, that the punishment of people who have wealth would be one of the items which are listed in this list given by Tabrizi. And especially because it says Allah only desires to punish them with this wealth. And we have this in many other verses of the Quran, that the wealth we are given to the unbelievers, the wealth we are given to the hypocrites, we only want to punish them. It's not the case that we like them or we are caring for them. It's the only desire, the only will going with this type of favor is to punish them. Now, if we think a bit more deeply, we find out that, yes, of course, the wealth given to people who are faithless, who are not thinking in the direction of Akhirah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is something which drags them gradually, little by little, farther and farther away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And since there is a very close link between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and human soul, they become alienated from their own soul as well. So this process of alienation, which is usually used even in sociology about people being alienated in society, is very much functional in this in religious concept about soul and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. They gradually become completely alienated with their own selves by given, and if they are given more, they become more alienated. And this is a great punishment, and this is a law, this is the desire of Allah. Whoever is given wealth and doesn't use it in the way of faith and doesn't use it in a way seeing that from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is a punishment for them rather than a favor. So that's quite clear. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ بِهَا فِي الدُّنْيَا. Not even in the Akhirah. The case is, why Tabrizi has mentioned this list is because the verse doesn't say that Allah wants to give them these words, this word to be spent in the wrong way so that He would punish them in Akhirah. No, He says Allah wants to punish them in this world, not in the next world. So that's why He has listed all these issues, that this is their punishment in this world, the punishment of having wealth. However, the more clear understanding, as I understand it, is that it is a very subtle process. When you are given more wealth and you do not think and use it in the way that would make you closer to Allah, you become alienated with your own self. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ. Do not be like those who forget Allah, and Allah makes them to forget themselves. That means they become alienated with their own self. They do not know, they do not realize what they are anymore. And the more they are given, the more they are driven into such an alienation. So this is a constant will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a permanent will of Allah. As it says, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ means permanently Allah will this. Well, this is a law, this is a rule. It's not going to be changed. Whoever is given wealth and is not in the direction of Allah, that will be turned into a punishment. And the more they are given, the worse for them. It's not better for them. So, and we have this concept mentioned in many, many verses of the Quran. أَيَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّمَا نُمِدُّهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ مَالٍ وَبَنِينَ نُسَارِعُ لَهُمْ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ إِنْ سُورَ مُؤْمِنُونَ. Do they think that the wealth and children we are giving them, children was a symbol of power at that time, of course, the wealth and power we are giving them, are we rushing them towards khayrat and good things? No, they don't know. We are rushing them towards punishments. This is the constant will of Allah, that He would punish people with this wealth which is giving them. So wealth is not always good. It's good only if you use it as a means of becoming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you use it in the wrong way, it's a punishment. So no wonder you would see kuffar and munafiqun having more wealth than mu'minun. Because usually people are inclined to use wealth in a bad way. And that's why the kuffar and munafiqun have more wealth. Usually that has been the case during the history. And of course, mu'minun, even if they have wealth, they spend it in infaq and in sadaqat, and they wouldn't become, of course, punished by it. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهَ أَن يُعَذِّبَهُمْ بِهَا فِي الدُّنْيَا, in this world. And what happens then after that? What happens after they are given this world? وَتَذْهَبَ أَنْفُسُهُمْ, and their souls may depart. It means, and Allah wants that by giving them this world, alienating from their own selves, that their souls would leave this world while they are kafir, not mu'min, because they are munafiq. They are the munafiqun, although they look like mu'minun, although they confess what mu'minun confess, however, Allah doesn't want them to depart just like mu'minun depart this world. No, they have to depart as kuffar. They have to be categorized in that category, although they say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. But we are not going to categorize them in the category of mu'min. Allah wants them to leave this world while their souls are calm. In Surah Hadid also we have this hint that Munafiqun, who were living with Mu'minun in this world, acting as Mu'minun, saying the same things that Mu'minun were saying, confessing the same thing Mu'minun were confessing. In the other world, they would think that this is going to help them as well as it was helping them in this world, being categorized as Mu'minun. So it says that يَوْمَ يَقُولُ الْمُنَافِقُونَ وَالْمُنَافِقَاتُ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا انظُرُونَا نَقْتَبِسْ مِنْ نُورِكُمْ وَالْمُنَافِقُونَ الْمُنَافِقَاتُ would say to the believers that wait for us so that we use your light, we take benefit of your light. قِيلَ ارْجِعُوا وَرَاءَكُمْ فَالْتَمِسُوا نُورًا and they are told, no, you go back to the world and bring light to yourself. You cannot use anyone else's light in this world. And then it says, يُنَادُونَهُمْ أَلَمْ نَكُمْ مَعَكُمْ they called them, weren't we with you? We were living with each other, we were saying the same thing, we were doing the same salat, we were going to the same mosque. أَلَمْ نَكُمْ مَعَكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَى they say, yes, you were with us. What's the heart? وَلَكَنَّكُمْ فَتَنْتُمْ أَنْفُسَكُمْ you put yourself in punishment. وَتَرَبَّصْتُمْ وَغَرَّتْكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا the life of the world deceived you. And then you are ended in this type of situation. Now, another instance of what of the reaction of Munafiqun to the verses of the Quran and to the advice of the Prophet is mentioned in the next surah. وَإِذَا أُنزِلَتْ سُورَةٌ أَنْ آمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَجَاهِدُوا مَعَ رَسُولِهِ اسْتَأْذَنَكَ أُولُو الطَّوْلِ مِنْهُمْ وَقَالُوا ذَرْنَا نَكُمْ مَعَ الْقَاعِدِينَ And when a surah is sent down declaring have faith in Allah and wage jihad along with his apostles, the affluent among them ask you for leave اسْتَأْذَنَكَ أُولُو الطَّوْلِ مِنْهُمْ And they say, let us remain with those who sit back, that's with children, with elderly, with those people who cannot go to war. رَضُوا بَأَنْ يَكُونُوا مَعَ الْخَوَالِفِ They are pleased to be with those who stay back. وَطُبِعَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ And their hearts have been sealed, so they do not understand. فَهُمْ لَا يَفْقَهُمْ This is actually an example of that an instance showing that the punishment is working. That they do not understand what Allah says and they always try to bring excuses. And this is a reason because it says the affluent among them. So look what have we done to the affluent that whenever we reveal a verse, they try to make excuses to evade it. And this is the result of that punishment that the wealth is given to them. So when a surah is sent down declaring have faith in Allah and wage jihad along with his apostles and aminu billah. Now we have this instance recurring in verses of the Quran that usually Allah advises to the mu'minun to believe. In one other surah we have ya ayyuhal ladina aminu billahi wa rasulih O you who believe in God and His love. Now, again, in Majmu' al-Bayan, Tabrizi give a theory about this, why mu'minun are advised to believe. And he said, it doesn't mean that you initiate a belief. It means that continue with what you have in terms of faith. يَدُومُ عَلَى الْإِيمَانِ وَيَتَمَسَّكُ بِهِ فِي مُسْتَقْبَلِ الْأَوْقَاتِ And they actually act according to that faith in the future or in any instance. So what he means here is that when the mu'minun are advised to have faith, to believe, it means that you have to act according to your faith. So here as well, when it says, وَإِذَا أُنزَلَتْ سُورَةٌ أَنْ آمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ When a verse is revealed, declaring them that have faith in God. It means that show your faith. Your faith should be tested, and this is a taste test for your faith. So have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is reasonable, of course. This is something which would give us the idea that faith is not faith unless and until you implement them in whatever you are told to do. It is action as well as word, as we have in very famous hadith from the Prophet and from Aimma alayhimus salam, that Iman is the word by the tongue that you declare that you are faithful. First of all, it is in the heart, and then declaration, and then وَعَمَلٌ بِالْأَرْكَانِ, acting according to that faith. So here, when the mu'minun are addressed in the sense that have faith in God, it means that something has happened, you have to act according to your faith, so have faith. And in the other verse which says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا آمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, it means the same thing. Have faith, show your faith by implementing it. Now another justification for this is that the Quran usually uses يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا for those who were living in Medina around the Prophet, whether faithful or hypocrites. Not for mushrikun, of course, only for those who declare that they are faithful. Now some of these people, of course, were munafiqun, some of these people were mu'minun, were real mu'minun. And Allah addresses all of them as يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, all those of you who believe, who have believed. So in these verses we can say, this is a possibility, although what Tabrizi says is makes more sense, but it is a possibility to say that these verses are actually addressed to the munafiqun, that those you who believe by your tongue, believe by your heart, آمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ. So when a verse is revealed that and آمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ, have faith in Allah, وَجَاهِدُوا مَعَ رَسُولِهِ, and wage jihad along with his apostle, which is of course putting that faith into action, into practice. اسْتَأْذَنَكَ أُولُو الطَّوْلِ مِنْهُمْ, the affluent among them ask you for leave. As I said, this is an instance of that punishment. Look how they do. We tell them you have to fight in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They come and ask you permission. And of course you might give them permission, but they have not fulfilled what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking from them, certainly. The affluent among them ask you for leave. وَقَالُوا ذَرْنَا نَكُمْ مَعَ الْقَائِلِينَ, and they say, let us remain with those who sit back. And of course this is a very derogatory statement, because people of nobility at that time, they never wanted to be with qa'idin, with those who are left behind in a war. It was an honor and nobility to go to war for the sake of one's own people or land or whatever, and on top of that here, for the sake of the faith and for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when they say قَالُوا ذَرْنَا نَكُمْ مَعَ الْقَاعِدُونَ, let us leave, remain with those who sit back, it means that they are saying a funny thing about themselves. They show an ignoble type of personality. رَضُوا بِأَنْ يَكُونُوا مَعَ الْخَوَالِفِ, now this stretches it. They are pleased to be with those who stay back. As I said, this was a dishonor for people to stay back in the war, unless they had some excuse, or they were children or elderly or women. So this is stressing that they are pleased with this. The ignoble souls would make them pleased to stay back with the qawa'id, the khawalif, those who have remained back. وَطُبِعَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ فَهُمْ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ, and their hearts have been sealed, so they do not understand, because of that sealing. Of course we have spoken already about how the hearts are sealed and what's the meaning of it. لَكِنَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ جَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ وَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْخَيْرَاتِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ, but the apostle and the faithful who are with him wage jihad with their possessions and persons by spending their money, of course, by providing for the army and by fighting themselves, offering their own souls. وَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْخَيْرَاتِ, and to such belong all the blessings. Now, khayrat, of course, the blessings in this world and in the next. However, the meaning of khayrat and blessings in this world here is different from what munafiqun and people of worldly attitudes would understand. As I said in Surah Mu'minun, it says that أَيَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّمَا نُمَدُّهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ مَالٍ وَبَنِينَ نُصَارِعُ لَهُمْ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ. Do they think that we give them wealth and power, we are rushing for them all the khayrat and blessings? بَلَّا يَشْعُرُونَ. They do not understand. Then the verses explain who are those who have the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ هُمْ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ رَبِّهِمْ مُشْفَقُونَ. Those who are fearful out of the fear for their Lord, they have this attitude, they are always concerned with a fear, they are filled with a fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their heart. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ يُؤْمِنُونَ. And those who believe in the sign of the Lord. وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا أَتَوْا. And those who give whatever they have to give. They give whatever they have given. They discharge all duties which is upon their shoulders with respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether inner duties of the heart or outer duties, outside duties of social life and personal life. They discharge all of them. Still they are fearful. وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجَلَةٌ. And their hearts are filled with the fear and concern that أَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُ. That they are going to return to their Lord. Now, there's no wealth, there's no nothing, just giving away, discharging duties, having faith, having fear. Then Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ نُصَارِعُ لَهُمْ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ. These are the ones whom we are rushing into our blessings. So the blessings here is different from the blessings that we understand and the blessings that munafiqun would understand, of course. They think that the khayrat is all given to them, the blessings of Allah is all given to them. However, it said, but the apostle and the faithful who are with him, they wage jihad with their possessions and persons, and to such belong all the blessings. And in fact, the very act of waging jihad, the very act of offering wealth, possession and soul and one's own blood is in itself the blessing. That act in itself is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not everyone is able, capable of doing this. So it is in itself a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْخَيْرَاتِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. And it is they who are the felicitous. أَعَدَّ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها ذلك الفوز العظيم. Well, the same verse which appears everywhere in the Quran. Allah has prepared for them gardens with streams running in them to remain in them forever. That is a great success. And of course, this is the realization of the blessing which was mentioned previously in the previous sentence in the other world. The way it shows itself in the other world, the way it realizes itself in the other world is in the form of these jannat, and of course this is the great success. Okay, we leave the rest for the next week. Wasallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi wa sallam.
You've got 22 minutes for the
sentence. You mentioned that Tu'ujibka Amwalahum. This is not direct to Prophet Muhammad. Could it be direct to him because of the ayah 52 in Surah Al-Ahzab?
What is that ayah then?
لا يحل لك نساء من بعد الناس قام ولو أجم لأحسنهن. So obviously it could be directed to him and other women.
No, that verse is of course a personal address to the Prophet about the personal attitude of the Prophet. It says, لا يحل لك النساء من بعد أبدا ولا أن تبدل به من أزواج ولو أعجبك حسنهن. You are not allowed to take any wives from any other group after these groups that we have mentioned for you, even if you feel you are amazed by their beauty or whatever, even if you like them. So this is a personal address to the Prophet. It doesn't go for other mu'minun, of course. However, in this verse and the similar verses, which Allah mentions something which we know clearly is quite known by the Prophet already, like for example, وَلَا تُعْجِبْكَ أَمْوَالُهُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُهُمْ, their wealth and their power should not amaze you or should not impress you. We know that Prophet is not impressed, certainly, by these things. If he wanted to be impressed, he wouldn't have been given the prophethood or given the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it means that Allah is giving us a message rather than giving the Prophet. Not because, of course, the Prophet doesn't need it, because we already know that he has already attained this level, that he is not impressed by wealth and by power of the people. And therefore, it's something which is addressed to him so that we may understand. Well, of course, it might be, but by the knowledge we have about the Prophet, the way we know the Prophet, we know him that he is not impressed by these things. Say, for example, the way Amirul Mu'minin speaks in Nahjul Balagha, so in a so humiliating way about the wealth, the power of people. We know that he has attained this level. And of course, he reads this verse, and we know that he already is not impressed by all these things. So we might say this is, of course, generally addressed to human beings, that you should not be impressed by these things. If, in any case, Prophet is impressed, then of course, yes, it's addressed to him as well, yes.
In his own level, not in our level.
That's possible.
Thank you.
Allah is talking about those people, those having ampleness of means, aspiration of you. But it doesn't seem that he's qualifying it. It's like all of those with apples and beans. It's not some of them. Is that your sense? It's just all of those who are wealthy, reputed, fine. This is the way it comes out.
No. Some of them were people of wealth, not all of them.
No, but all of the ones who were people of wealth, reputed, fine. What did you say that? That's the way it reads.
استأذنك أول الطول منهم.
It doesn't say some of those who have wealth.
Yeah.
Those who have wealth were stopped.
Come and ask you. So what's the question?
So the question is, does it make sense that every single person who had wealth refused to fight with the Prophet?
From munafiqun, of course.
Ah.
وَلُوْ تَوْلٍ مِنْهُمْ It means من المنافقون.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you. Jesus, before you come into the room. Hello?
It says in the Bible that the Prophet Isa said that those who have wealth, for them it will be more difficult to enter heaven than it is for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Is our position also similar?
I don't know. This might be a bit distorted in the Bible, because we know that this is not the case. There are many people who are very wealthy, and their wealth would help them to go to paradise rather than to impede them. And in the Quran also we have that Allah excludes those who use their wealth in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from those who would be in difficulty later on because of their wealth. However, we know that if two people are equal in faith and one of them is wealthier than the other, the one who is wealthier should be held accountable and should be held into account for what he was given. So his account would take longer than the other one. That's why in our view, which of course would be the same thing as in the Bible, but we don't know how these sentences are translated from the Aramaic to Latin and then from Latin to English and all these things, is that people of wealth would have tougher time on the Day of Judgment because the account that they have to produce for what they were given. And this is general for people of any type of favor. I mean, people with eyes are going to be held more accountable rather than blind people. People with power are going to be held more responsible than people without power. So that's why we have that in the Sermon on the Mount in the Bible is that Tuba lil Fuqara, how happy are Fuqara, how lucky are Fuqara, are the poor, because on the Day of Judgment they will be superior to others because of course of their ease, the ease with which they are processed towards paradise, towards Jannah. Sorry, just mention one thing. I don't remember now in which surah, but we have this ayah in the Quran. وَمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ بِالَّتِي تُقَرِّبُكُمْ عِنْدَنَا زُلْفَى. Your wealth and your power is not going to make you closer to us. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Except those who believe. This wealth and power would bring them closer to us by spending them in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So sometimes, yeah, I mean, wealthy people might be even better off if they are really faithful, they do not care about that wealth and power, they only care about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Sisters,
Sister
Sarah, anybody? I just wanted to ask, you know, just the thing that you were saying about the two people, that one had wealth and belief and the other one had belief but no wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it a higher station then if this wealth is such a problem in that it causes so many problems for your belief and all of that, can cause you problems, that the person with the wealth should be at a higher station than the person that didn't have any kind of test, if you like, in his brain? Or,
well, the point is that most people fail that test, yeah, that's the problem. Otherwise, yes, if the wealth is given as a test and the person passes that test, they would have higher position. And in this verse which I just mentioned, it actually says people with wealth and faith has twice as reward as others. It says that وَمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ بِالَّتِي تُقَرِّبُكُمْ عِنْدَنَا زُلْفَى. Your wealth and power is not going to make you closer to us. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, except those who have faith and do good things, فَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ جَزَاءُ الضِّعْفِ بِمَا عَمِلُوا. They have twice rewards for what they have done. Yeah, because they are past the test.
If you look at it from only that one side, that wealth is not good, then it induces everybody to try and, well, everybody that wants to have after, they don't want to make any effort towards wealth at all. That's what was happening, stagnation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which you don't want, because there's a lot of social good that is done as well.
True.
On the one hand, we have this, that if you have wealth, then it drives you away from Allah. In case of Mahdi more, generally, as you mentioned, wealth has a tendency of getting people away from Allah. On the other hand, we have this, that if you are in poverty, and extreme poverty, that also can lead you to kufr. And then, in between this, what is the criteria that we need to strive to put us in the right sort of manner?
Well, the main thing is that we should not forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, if wealth is going to divert us from that, we shouldn't go after it. However, as the Quran says, if you have wealth, if you are given wealth and you use it in the right way, in the right of Allah, amen wa amilu salihat, then you are going to get twice as reward. So we really don't have something which tells us to be poor or to be rich. What Quran wants to tell us is that this is not a criterion for judgment. Do not judge people and their relation with God according to what they have or what they don't have. This is not a criterion at all. People might have lots of wealth and this might be a punishment for them. And people might have lots of wealth and this might be a blessing for them. And on the contrary, people might be poor and you might think that this is a punishment while it is a blessing. So what the Quran is trying to tell us, and especially this is very explicitly mentioned in Nahjul Balagha, that you have to cut the relation between wealth and possession and position of people in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is nothing that you can judge in this sense by means of wealth and power, whether a person is close to God or farther away from God. There is no relation. And this is what Amir al-Mu'mineen explains very explicitly in Nahjul Balagha, saying, فَلَا تَعْتَبِرُ الرِّضَى وَالصُّحَفْ بِالْمَالِ وَالْوَلَى. Never judge that Allah is pleased with someone or is in wrath with someone with wealth and power. You cannot judge that. It's impossible. Yeah.
You mentioned the last part what you said, that you don't judge with them. But in this ayat, it says that this wealth will take them away from Allah. This all will be.
Because they are munafiqun. But if they were mu'minun, it would have brought them closer. So you cannot say that because people are given wealth, so they are closer to God. Or because they are given wealth, they are farther away from God. There's no such a relationship.
The Quranic question about the needle and the camel is Surah Al-A'raf verse 40. It says, "Inna alladhina kadhabu bi ayatina wa istakbaru 'anha la tadkhuluhum abwaab as-samaa' wa la yadkhuluna al-jannata hatta yalija al-jamal fi sam'i al-qiyad."
The imagery is used both in the Quran and in the Bible. But that's why I said we really don't know how this is translated or how it's distorted. But the right thing is what is in the Quran. It's to do with arrogance and to do with wrongdoing.
Last question.